Good morning, everyone. Hi. How are you doing? So it's been said, we are looking at questions, the theme of questions. I was going to say, in case you missed it, we're going to do it the third time. So the video did it twice. I'm going to do it once. So for the next 45 minutes, we're going to unpack this. No, I'm not. It's not going to be that long, I'll see. It's getting pretty hot in there, isn't it? So we live in a world full of questions. And, you know, because of technology, we can ask Google anything, or not just Google, there are other search engines available, as well as smartphones, you know, and smart speakers and all that sort of stuff. Questions like, you know, what's the weather going to be like today? Pretty obvious today, isn't it? Or things like, how do I make more money? Or how do I fix things? Like, how do I fix my bathroom tap? Or, you know, those kind of questions. But people ask those questions every day, like, why is a pineapple called a pineapple? But also people ask deeper questions as well, like, why am I here? Eli's question, that was a brilliant, deep question. What is my purpose? You know, what happens when I die? And can I be forgiven? People ask those kind of deep questions all the time. And if you're a dad here today, and that's whether you're a biological dad or a spiritual dad, you can spend your life answering questions. Like, the common questions I'm asked in my house is, why is the Wi-Fi not working? Can you fix this thing? Or can you take the jar, you know, the lid off this jar? Or can I borrow 20 quid? That's a very common question I get asked. But there's one question that no parent, no search engines, no AI can ask. It's the question that we have to ask for ourselves. And it's, what must I do to be saved? At some point in your life, you will ask that question. And that's exactly the question we're going to look at in Acts. So if you've got your Bibles, if you haven't got one, there's some on the table at the back. So please go and grab one and open it to the book of Acts. We are actually going through the book of Acts at the moment, an Acts series. So we're staying in Acts, but this isn't related to the other series. And we're going to read in chapter 16, there's a verse behind me, 25 to 34. So about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that whether this is the first time we've heard it or whether this is the thousandth time we've heard it, Lord, help us to have open hearts to receive it with joy, Lord, this morning. Will you speak through me? Will you speak to our hearts? Will you speak to our minds, Lord? Whatever is the message you want us to hear, you will make that clear, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. So, Paul and Silas are in prison. They've been beaten and imprisoned for proclaiming Jesus. They weren't criminals. They weren't robbers. They didn't commit any violence. But the people rose up against them. They were publicly humiliated, they were beaten, and they were fastened in stocks and put into prison. And at midnight, they were praying and they were singing. And this is the first miracle that we hear in this story, this singing. Because most of us can understand prison. Most of us can understand injustice. But how do you explain worship after they suffered in that way, after that happened to them? And then an earthquake shakes the prison. The doors open, their chains fall off, and the jailer assumes the prisoners have escaped. The ground was shaking, the doors opened, he assumes the worst has happened. My life is over, everything is lost. And he reaches for his sword, ready to take his own life. I mean, that is how the jailer would have been treated. The Romans were brutal. You know, he had an awesome responsibility and he was held responsible for anything that happened. And that's what was going through his mind. You know, he's like, this has happened and I'm going to get the blame for it. And that's why Paul shouts out so dramatically, don't harm yourself, we are all here. You know, he thinks the worst. But the greatest miracle that happens in this story is not that the earthquake happens. It's that nobody runs. I mean, if I was in prison, locked up in chains, and the door suddenly opened, your natural reaction is, I'm just going to get out. I can go. But they didn't. And that night, the jailer discovers a deeper need than being physically rescued. There was a deeper need he realized he needed. And he must have heard Paul and Silas singing. He must have heard them talking. They must have shared something of their peace, their hope, their confidence. And that would have, you know, that would have gone into the jailer's heart. And so he asked that question, what must I do to be saved? He realizes in that moment, he doesn't need physical rescue. He needs something else. And so most people ask questions like, how can I be happy? How can I be successful? How can I enjoy life? How can I be accepted? And these aren't bad questions. They're good questions. But eventually we need to go deeper. We need to find an answer to the question of what life is really about. What does life really mean? What are we really here for? And so that the jailer's question cuts through all the others. It is the question beneath all other questions. Now, have you ever asked that question for yourself? And maybe you're here this morning and you're asking or you're saying to yourself, I'm not really sure what I believe. And that's okay. There are many people who are still watching, thinking, or asking questions. Is this all real? Does this make sense? Is this something I can believe in? And you would call someone like that agnostic. They're not hostile. They're just not convinced. They just don't really know what they believe. And the jailer took one more step beyond that. He wasn't sure what he believed. But he didn't stay at a distance. Yes, it took something dramatic, but he had already seen something in Paul and Silas, something in their worship, something in the words that they spoke. And so he didn't stay at a distance. When he needed an answer, he came and he asked. And perhaps that's where some of you are today. You're still uncertain, but you're exploring. And maybe you are still open. But there comes a point where distance itself becomes a barrier. Because you can observe someone from across the room, but you can't know them until you come closer. God is not a philosophy to be analyzed, or he's not a theory to be debated. He is a person. He is a person who's revealed himself in Jesus. So the good thing about this story is that Paul didn't leave the jailer with that question. He didn't leave him searching. And he gives a very clear and direct answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. But notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, you've got to try harder. He doesn't say, you've got to become religious. He doesn't say, try and clean yourself up. He doesn't say you've got to earn God's approval or try and become a better person. He says, believe in Jesus and you will be saved. And many people ask the question, like, if I'm a good person, if I live a good life, do I need to believe in God? Our deepest need is not self-improvement. Our deepest need is forgiveness. Reconciliation with God, a God that created us, a God that gave us life. And we've all fallen short. We've all fallen short of God's standards. We've all fallen short of our own standards. We know what it's like to make a mess of things, to hurt people we love, to say things that we regret, to carry regrets and not become the people we hoped we would be. And that's what the Bible calls sin, in that one word. It's about living our own way, living independently of God's plan for us, doing what we want to do. And as a result of that, we feel guilt, we feel regrets, we feel broken. We feel a separation from God. It can feel like swimming against the tide your whole life. So we need forgiveness. We need reconciliation. We need saving. And the answer is not a religion. The answer is a person. It's Jesus. He lived the life we could not live. He died the death that we deserve. And he rose again victorious. And he gives us forgiveness. And he gives us a new life if we trust him. You see, Christianity doesn't begin with what we can do for God. It's not about us trying harder. It's about what God has done for us in Jesus. We bring nothing. He brings everything. Think about it a different way. Imagine proposing with a cookbook. Imagine saying to your would-be partner, and this could work for men or women, follow these rules for 40 years and then I'll accept you. We'd laugh, wouldn't we? Because it's a ridiculous thing to say. But acceptance comes first. In a relationship, the relationship comes first. God doesn't say, come to me, doesn't say, if you follow these rules and then I'll accept you. He says, come to me, I'll forgive you, I'll welcome you, and I'll give you new life. And that's grace. And it's absolutely free to everyone. So the jailer doesn't just hear the message. He responds. He believes. And he is baptized. And that's exactly what we're celebrating today. The gospel is heard. Jesus is trusted. And faith is expressed publicly in baptism. But baptism doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. But baptism is a public declaration saying, I belong to Jesus. My old life is dead and I've been raised to new life. It's not, I've got it all figured out. It's not, I can answer all the questions. It's, I can trust Jesus. And I'm declaring it publicly. And today's Father's Day as well. And many have experienced wonderful fathers, but others have also suffered pain and loss. But every one of us needs a heavenly Father. Because through Jesus, we can know that heavenly Father. We can have a relationship with him. So the jailer asks, what must I do to be saved? And Paul answered, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. So the question is, how do I know it's true? Which is an honest question. What if I said there was a red Ferrari parked outside? We could debate it for hours. We could talk about it. We can analyze it. But eventually, you've got to go outside and see it. So the question becomes, will I trust Jesus? Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's taking a step based on what we already know. The jailer didn't have every question answered, but he knew enough to take one step closer to him. So whether you've heard this for the first time or for the 1,000th time, are you open to Jesus? It's a decision you make every single day of your life, for your whole life. Are you open to taking one step towards him? And if that is you, we'd love to talk to you. After the service, come and find us, come and talk to us. We'd love to answer your questions, if you've got questions, and help you take that next step. Might not be baptism, it might just be an answer to a question. But please come and talk to us. Don't put it off. And there may be Christians here today that have believed in Jesus, know him as their Lord and Savior, have put their trust in him, but you've never been baptized. Today is a good day to be baptized. If you want to be baptized and you're feeling a bit of a nudge, come and talk to us. It's a good day for it because the sun is out and the sea will be warm. And what better time to declare your trust and faith in Jesus? The jailer was baptized. He believed. And baptism was his public declaration that he belonged to Christ. So the jailer asked the most important question. What must I do to be saved? And the answer remains the same today. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we can believe in you and you will save us. You will forgive us. You will redeem us. You will give us the power to live as we should, Lord. You will give us the power to swim with the current, not against the current. And Lord, we thank you that we can bring everything that we have, Lord. We don't need to earn your trust, your forgiveness. We come as we are, and you welcome us, you love us, and you accept us. Lord, and we thank you for the baptisms that are going to happen this morning, Lord. For anyone who is thinking about baptism, for Jess and Dan who are going to publicly declare their trust in you, Lord, what a celebration that is. But you're worthy, Jesus. You are so worthy. And we get to celebrate together as family this morning, Lord, for your glory. Amen.